This podcast is part of the Podcavern Network. Check out other Podcavern shows at podcavern.com. Oneiric. Year 100. A full century. Deirdre, look, I know. I'm not crazy. I know you won't hear this. I know you've been dead for decades. Centuries, really, if I go by all the time that's gone by, over multiple levels of the dreaming. I just felt really alone. I had a weird dream last night. Or I lived through something weird, you understand? Nearly a century ago, I was in a forest. A forest I'd already seen in the dream. The forest where I won my sword. I told you this story, didn't I? I'm sure I did. I've just lost my sword, Dee. I've had it for most of my life. Hardly ever used it, but I think it meant something. And now, it's gone. It's gone back. That probably means something too, but I'm damned if I have the first idea what that could be. God, my nerves are shot. Have you ever heard this? Allegri's Miserere. It's a setting of Psalm 51, the one that goes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." An extremely storied piece. Look it up. Do you find it calming? I find it calming. I am back in that very forest. That's where I'm recording this, right now. I wish I could tell you if I'm awake or somewhere in the dreaming, Dee. I really do, but I can't. I can't. I don't know how I could tell. When is the last time I've been awake? Is there such a thing? Have I ever been awake? Is it all just the dreaming? It could be, you know. Of course, when you get right down to it, it hardly matters. I usually don't even think about it. But we do try to nail things down. Sometimes, don't we, Deirdre? Sometimes we don't deal well with the shifting ground under our feet. I mean, I deal with it better than most people. It's one thing I'm all right at, but even I have my moments where I want to hold on to the handrail. Wait. Listen to this bit, Deirdre. Transcendent, right? You won't believe this, but that top C is the result of a copyist's error. Transpose that section of fourth up, caught on, been performed like that ever since. If that's not the presence of God in the world, nothing is. Of course, it makes it impossible to sing for most choirs, but you can't have everything. Now, where was I? This verdammed forest, Dee. Those trees. Lacquered trunks, like petrified wood, but obviously alive. Pulsating with life. Triangular leaves, nut brown, sort of reddened by the setting sun or suns. When I got here, who knows how long ago now, I could see the sunset between the trees. The kind of sunset that makes you forget to breathe. over and through roiling clouds, red and violet and magenta, and with flashes of emerald green and glimmerings of yellow. And the trees were speaking this time, not just in my head. They were whispering, urging me on. I kid you not, they sounded like Wagner. You know the Waldweben bit from Siegfried? Fairly loathsome fellow, Wagner, but he could write music. The vibe was completely different than the last time, is what I'm driving at. There was nothing threatening about it. I felt really good. Couldn't quite decipher what the trees were saying, but it sounded encouraging. I felt held up, buoyed, if that makes sense. I was different too, of course. Last time I was not quite so completely transmogrified to metal. Now, if I turned back and looked, I could see the tracks I was leaving on the leaves-strewn, loamy floor of the forest. Quite heavy now, you understand? Lissome enough, but dense. I walked for a few days, I guess. Ate nuts and berries. I walked and thought and prayed. And sang. It was only slowly that I started to understand where the trees were taking me. Slowly, but it all solidified. I could tell. I wasn't certain, but I could tell. And when I arrived at the felled tree, I knew. This was where I'd found my sword. Where I cut down the tree with my axe. Remember? I cut it down, revealing the sword, hidden within its trunk. And then the verdammt vindictive villain fell on top of me and tried to kill me. Paul had to come and save me. The tree had decayed and was barely visible anymore. It was just a mossy, ghostly shape along the ground. But this was the place, all right. Okay, something else. This is a Gregorian setting of the Christus Factus Est. Yes. What was I doing there, D? Why had the forest pulled me all the way here? Then the whispers of the trees resolved themselves into intelligible words. Plant it, said the trees. Plant it, plant it, plant it. Trying to give you an idea of the sound of it, right? For a minute, I was dumbfounded, and it didn't matter that I could understand the words. Then it dawned on me. Plant the sword. Yeah, that's a bit transparent. But I did. Why not? I did it like in a story, with dramatic gestures and everything. I took the sword out of its scabbard. Decisively, you know, sort of heroically. I held it to the sky. I let its blade catch the dying light of the suns. And, yeah, it looked lit from within. Very striking. I prayed. Again. I am a pilgrim. Then I sank it two-thirds of the way into the earth, right where that fucking tree had stood a lifetime ago. Never mind the obvious male-centered symbolism of the scene, which you've seen 1,000 times. Bit pathetic, I don't deny it. I heard a sigh. Now what? I was tired, D. I was suddenly exhausted. Drained. I could barely stand. I sank to my knees. I lay down on the ground, crossed my arms, put my head down, and went to sleep. When I woke up, the grass was high around the sword. What passes for crickets on this planet were buzzing so loud I thought my head would split. But I went back to sleep. I woke up again. And now there was a young tree growing next to my sword. A squirrel with wings was frozen in fear about 30 centimeters from my nose. I coughed, and it took off like a rocket. And I went back to sleep. I didn't want to, but I couldn't help it. When next I woke up, the tree was bigger, and the sword was flush against it, and I could see that the tree was going to grow around it and swallow it into itself. A blue and orange woodpecker type of bird was rat-tat-tatting against the tree, and my eyes closed again on their own. I woke up like that 100 times, Dave. And every time, the sword disappeared a little bit more into the growing tree, and I never managed to move away from that spot. I woke up, noted the passage of time, and fell asleep again, in spite of myself. 100 times, at least. Then, not an hour ago, I woke up beside a mature tree. Refreshed, if a little disorientated. Obviously, I didn't go back to sleep. So, big tree. Big tree. No sign of the sword. Wait. Did you hear that? Someone's coming.
Hello, Dad.
Hey, Vons.
Val? Lana, what are you... How did you get here?
You don't have to switch off the Omni...
Notes to Oneiric, Year 100, by Taffer Troy, Ph.D., Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, March 4, 684. UDM ID TT603782. This penultimate episode is quite the maelstrom of symbolism. The sword, never a subtle phallic image, is used here to signify aging, their emasculation, further on virility, coitus, reproduction, and so on. And as is his wont, Wanderer does not miss the opportunity to let us know that he is in on the joke, cheekily calling the sexual imagery transparent. The return of the sword to its place of rest is also a fairly well-attested trope of heroic storytelling, in literature and even more particularly in video games. A prime example of this cyclical structure is the back and forth movement of the Master Sword in the Zelda series, finding the sword after coming through challenges, using the sword to win the day against ultimate evil, returning the sword to the place it was found where it will wait for the next hero a few generations down the line. I will note that Oneiric plays with these devices, but is not beholden to them, however. This return of the sword motif happens too early in the story for it to align with the way it is normally used. The trope is traditionally post-climactic, and we are still awaiting the climax, after all. Indeed, who knows if it will, in fact, come. Oneiric is the heroic story where nothing particularly heroic happens. Well, listeners, the story is trundling to its end. To an end, in any case. I'm delighted to announce that with next week's releases, I will finally reveal the discovery I made nearly 3 years ago. The discovery that set me on my current academic path. I say releases, and I mean releases. There will be 2 files on offer next week within a few hours of one another. I hope you enjoy them. Next week, Oneiric ends. One way or another.
Have you ever seen those lists on the internet that's like top 5 sandwich toppings, top 5 movies of the year, top 5 celebrities who have a very punchable face? You know what I'm talking about. The point is, all these lists drive us crazy because we have no idea who made them and how they even narrowed down their top 5 list. That's where my podcast comes in. My name is Tung La and I am the host of Ranked, Top 5 Lists of Stuff That Don't Matter. In every episode, with the help of a motley crew of self-proclaimed experts, we debate, battle, and work together, showing you the entire process of how we got there to create a top 5 list of any and every topic we can think of, like top 5 brunch menu items, top 5 fictional dogs, top 5 90s songs, top 5 Steves? The list goes on, and we will not rest till we rank basically everything. So join us every second Thursday in the Pod Cavern for Ranked, Top 5 Lists of Stuff That Don't Matter.
Top 5, top 5, top 5.